Can Tony Pollard run for his fifth straight 1,000-yard season in 2026? That is the central question as we preview the Tennessee Titans running back position ahead of training camp. What does the rest of the room look like? Who makes the roster? We're breaking it all down now on the Music City Audible. Let's get to it. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Music City Audible, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver, full-time NFL podcast producer for Odyssey, and joining me, as always, managing editor of TitansEyes.com, publisher for NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. Justin, we've previewed the offensive line, the tight end group. Today, we're looking at the running back position as we prepare for Titans training camp, with the central question being, can Tony Pollard run for his fifth straight 1,000-yard season? Let us know in the comments below if you think Pollard can get there. Also, like the video, subscribe to the channel. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Excited to talk about Tony Pollard and this running back room today. How did we get here, number one? We came into this offseason thinking Titans might cut Tony Pollard. We thought they might trade him at the deadline last year. Thought they were going to draft Jeremiah Love, number four overall. You thought they were going to draft Jeremiah Love, number four overall in the 2026 NFL draft. Well, none of those things happened. They didn't cut him. They didn't trade him. They didn't draft Jeremiah Love. They keep Tony Pollard, who is entering the final year of his contract, and they think the world of him. I think they think higher of him than maybe we initially realized. When I listened to Randy Jordan talk about Tony Pollard at the podium earlier this year when at training camp, Randy Jordan being the running backs coach for the Tennessee Titans, I thought he was talking about his wife when he was talking about Tony Pollard. Like, he just thinks the world of TP. And I've heard this, all kidding aside, like professionalism, the way he carries himself. The old cliche pros pro describes Tony Pollard incredibly well. And he's very quiet, but he's a quiet leader, a lead by example type of guy. And he's been the epitome of consistency for the Titans through some really crappy dark years. Let's be honest. Tony Pollard deserves better, or he has deserved better than what the Tennessee Titans have been throughout the duration of his contract. He's been an unsung hero of the offense. He's played through injuries. He's fought through some things back to back, 3-4. Tony Pollard's gone 6-28 in 2 years with the Tennessee Titans. And yet he's had back to back 1,000 yard seasons. Now, some of that, I'll be honest, they probably could have shut him down. He's fighting through injuries. They had other guys were hurt on offense in the room, and there was something in it for him. He had some incentives, some, you know, some contract-related bonuses by getting to 1,000 yards. But you know how few running backs have run for 1,000 yards in 4 straight years? It's an incredibly short list, and Tony Pollard is on it. Deserves more love. Excited to watch Tony Pollard in 2025. Better offense, better coordinator. You know, who knows what Pollard can achieve this coming year.
Yeah, the other guy on the list is Derrick Henry. That's the full list of guys who have run for 1,000 yards in 4 straight years. Justin, we did videos earlier this offseason titled things like running back Breece Hall would transform Titans offense. Running back Kenneth Walker would upgrade Titans backfield. Titans must draft Jeremiah Love. Like, we, you and I, were really trying to replace Tony Pollard this offseason. The Titans didn't agree with that. Robert Saleh talked at the owners' meetings about how much he loved the Titans' backfield. He spoke again. You mentioned Randy Jordan, but Saleh spoke again about the running backs calling Pollard and Spears his bell cows. But the question isn't who's the bell cow.
Didn't he also say, I'm sorry, but he also said when he was preparing to play them, when he was the 49ers DC, he told his guys, you're not going to beat Tony Pollard in pass protection. Like, that speaks to the level of appreciation Robert Saleh had for Tony Pollard before he even got here.
Right. And the question, though, isn't does the Titans coaching staff love Tony Pollard? Right. And is this guy going to be the leading rusher for the team? Those are obvious. The question is, can he run for 1,000 yards again? Quickly, Justin, I'm going to tell you, since Brian Daboll took over as the offensive coordinator for 2018 Buffalo Bills, I'm going to run through quickly. The leading rusher for his offenses every year that he started calling plays in 2018. I went back to 2018. He's been offensive coordinator for longer than that, but it doesn't matter. 2018, LeSean McCoy was their leading rusher with 514 yards. 2019, Devin Singletary, 775 yards. 2020, Devin Singletary again, 687 yards. Now in those 2 years, 2019, 2020, Frank Gore, the corpse of Frank Gore, added 599 yards. 2020, Zach Moss added 481 yards. 2021, Singletary got up to 870 and 7 rushing touchdowns. Goes to New York as the head coach. Saquon Barkley runs for 1,312 yards and 10 touchdowns. Was a Pro Bowler that year. But in 2023, Saquon Barkley missed some time. Finished with 962 rushing yards. 2024, their leading rusher was rookie Tyrone Tracy. 840-ish yards. Devin Singletary contributing another 400. And in 2025, we saw Tyrone Tracy start the year as a starter. Cam Scadabo takes over, breaks his ankle. Hard to say who the leading, like the leading rusher there is, a lot of injury issues. But my point is, he's only had his leading rusher run for over 1,000 yards one time in the last 8 years calling plays. So how much is he going to lean on Tony Pollard? Is it going to be like one of those Pollard rushes for 800, Spears rushes for 500 type of seasons that would require Spears staying healthy long enough to contribute that many yards? Or does he fully lean on Tony Pollard like he did on Saquon Barkley in 2022? It's maybe some kind of hybrid approach in between. I will say I'm skeptical that Pollard can get back to 1,000 yards again just because of the way that they might split up this backfield usage. And the fact that they might be, we don't know, but they might be a pass-happy kind of offense.
I will slightly disagree with you, and I like when we disagree because we don't do it enough. Really good numbers, really good context. I wouldn't have guessed that Dable's had that few 1,000-yard rushers. Although there's a second in there. If Saquon Barkley doesn't get hurt, he had 960. Yeah. And Barkley is Barkley, right? When I look at some of those other running backs that failed to do so, I'm going to say this. Tony Pollard is more talented than LeSean McCoy was at that point in his career. The corpse of Frank Gore, Zach Moss, who else was in there?
Devin Singletary.
Like, I think Tony Pollard's more talented than all of those guys. And I'm a little skeptical, and we'll talk about it in the next segment, about how much Tajay Spears can handle and how healthy he typically is. So when you talk about some of those guys that had 500 yards, well, another guy had 400, you know, so, give or take, the backfield got close to 1,000 in those years. I don't think this is going to be as split because I don't think the Titans, I think the Titans would love to be split. I don't know that they'll have the actual benefit of doing so. So I think they'll lean on Tony Pollard pretty heavily. And I think that gets him back to 1,000 yards. And what should be, by the way, a better offense. They should have possession for longer, keep the ball more drives. Like, we expect a good defense. So I think the way this offense is trending, as long as Tony Pollard stays healthy, I like his chances of getting his fifth straight 1,000-yard season.
Do you think Tony Pollard will approach the attempts numbers that he's had in the last 3 years, two of those with Tennessee, one with Dallas, 252 rushing attempts in 2023, 260 in 2024, and 242 last year? Do you think he goes north of 240 carries again this year? Because I think whether or not he gets to 1,000 yards is going to depend on whether or not he gets 240-plus carries. If he does, I think he will cross 1,000 yards. If he's in like the 190 range like he was his second to last year in Dallas, then he probably is in the 800 to 900 rushing yard range.
I think 190 is a little low, but I think 240 is a little high, I'll admit. I'm not a math guy, but like, he can't get to 1,000 with 215, 220. You know what I mean? Like, just be a, like, put it this way. Last year, he was very, the rushing offense in general, was very inefficient to begin the year, right? If they're just a bit more efficient this year, and obviously, you know, major questions surrounding the O-line will play a role in that. But if they're a little efficient, he can't get to 1,000 yards with 215 carries?
It's a good question because his yards per attempt has fluctuated throughout his career, but that last year, that second to last year in Dallas, 193 attempts, 1,007 yards at 5.2 yards per attempt. The next year, same team, 252 carries, 60 more carries, about two less yards, 1,005 yards. The thing about Pollard's 1,000-yard seasons are he's not crushing this 1,000-yard. He's not 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 yard rusher. It's 1,007. 1,005, 1,079 first year in Tennessee, 1,082 last year. Yards per carry numbers, 5.2, 4.0, 4.2, and 4.5 last year. So trending in the right direction since he broke his leg in 2023 season he broke his leg, or was that 2022 season?
22, I think.
Yeah. Wasn't it?
Because he played one more year in Dallas.
You're right. And that was his lowest efficiency year. It was bouncing back, wasn't as explosive that year because he still needed to work back to his full form. And I think he's fully back to that form. Now, the other part of this conversation is the age factor. He's 29 years old now, just turned 29 in April. So this is, you know, approaching that running back cliff. I will say, I think if the Titans' offensive line is a better run-blocking unit, I mean, they were pretty good second half of last year, but first half of last year, they were abysmal. I think if Pollard is around 220 carries at around 4.8 yards per carry or so, he can cross that 1,000-yard plateau for the fifth straight year. And if I had to bet on whether or not it will happen, I probably wouldn't bet on it to happen just because injuries and, you know, failure to meet expectations are a thing that we've experienced a lot as Titans fans. But I definitely think there is a solid chance he crosses that mark again.
I'm with you. I'm going with Pollard having his fifth straight 1,000-yard rushing season for the Titans this season. After the break, talk about the rest of the running back room.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about mental health more openly now, but asking for help can still feel hard, and BetterHelp's latest research confirms it.
BetterHelp's 2026 State of Stigma report surveyed 2,000 Americans and revealed that 85% of Americans believe getting support is wise, yet 74% say society discourages people from actually doing so. What can we as a society do to close this gap between believing in mental health support and actually seeking it out?
Well, we can start by encouraging each other to seek support when we need it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, you should know that BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform.
All you have to do to get started is fill out a short questionnaire, and BetterHelp takes care of matching you with a therapist. The best part? If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from any of BetterHelp's tailored recommendations.
Don't let stigma stand in the way of support. Start therapy with BetterHelp. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Welcome back, everybody. All right, Justin, there are six running backs currently on the roster. I don't expect that will change between now and training camp. The other guys in the order that I believe is their pecking order: Tajay Spears, Nicholas Singleton, Kalel Mullings, Julius Chestnut, Michael Carter. Those are the guys after Tony Pollard. I think Tajay Spears, we know, is far and away the second guy in the group. Going to be a third down pass-catching guy, a change of pace back, guy who's been working on his patience on inside runs, is still pretty deadly on outside runs, can make explosive plays happen when he's healthy. Staying healthy has been the question mark. And then Nick Singleton, just drafted this year, so you'd think that he has, like you said the other day, or yesterday, I think, he has a longer leash. Well, you said that about Jared Kanick yesterday. Longer leash because he's a draft pick and not a seventh-round pick, but still a day-three pick coming off a foot injury. The other guys are, you know, Julius Chestnut has survived many coaching staffs and is a special teams ace. Kalel Mullings was kind of drafted, I think, to be a special teams ace. And then Michael Carter has familiarity with Robert Saleh. So it's hard to sort out who's going to be number four, number five, number six, and how many running backs they even keep on the final 53-man roster.
Well, I start the conversation, we're grouping all these guys, with Tajay Spears, who had a good offseason, good OTAs, good minicamp. They want to be their number two bell cow, as Robert Saleh put it. In a perfect world, he's healthy. You know, he hasn't been fully healthy in 2 years. He's missed a significant chunk of games and times two seasons in a row. They want him to be healthy and give him 8 to 12 touches per game. I think that's the best way to try to keep him available throughout the course of a 17-game season. I think that's the best way to keep him effective. He's averaged under 4 yards per carry in two straight years, so I'd love to see him surpass that number this year. Broken record, I'd love to see him stay healthy, and I'd love to see him add something to the passing game, because we know he's speedy, he's a bit of a scat back, he's great in space. And he was so upbeat when he spoke at the podium during minicamp. I really hope Tajay Spears is healthy and adds something to the offense this year. I'm at the point where I don't even know that I have expectations for Nicholas Singleton. Like, as a rookie, sixth round pick, late day three dart throw, some exciting athleticism, some potential to try to tap into. The pathway for Nicholas Singleton to be relevant as a rookie.
Fifth round, by the way.
I keep doing that, don't I? Fifth round pick on Nick Singleton. The pathway for Nick Singleton to be relevant as a rookie, in all honesty, it probably takes Tajay Spears to get hurt, truthfully, or
either
Pollard,
one.
I guess, either
yeah.
or, like either one, and then he becomes the number one, two guy, right? Because whoever was healthy between the two would still be the number one, and then Singleton becomes the number two and starts splitting that workload. Like, that's what it's going to take. And even then, to be blunt with you, I don't think it's guaranteed that he's the one who's elevated. It could be Julius Chestnut or Michael Carter, because they trust those guys more. Like, one of those guys could be on the practice squad, get elevated to the 53 because of an injury, and still out-touch Nicholas Singleton, because the coaching staff just has more faith in their ability to pick up the offense, pass protection, know your assignments, know your roles. Like, I think that's also possible. So I'm going to move on from Nick Singleton because I don't have a lot of expectations for him, and talk about this cluster that they have on the back end. You can convince me that they're going to keep four backs, and any of these three guys are going to be number four. We know that Chestnut is a preseason stud and is going to look good at camp. We know that Michael Carter has worked with Robert Saleh in the past, and in all honesty, he's the one who's closest to Tajay Spears' skill set. So if they want an alternative to Spears, Carter's the one who's like an undersized, slashing type runner who can catch passes and make things happen in space. And then I get to Khalil Mullings, who I think is on a very short leash, but probably has a lot more upside on special teams. Like, if they want the fourth running back to be a core special teamer, I think Chestnut's right there too. He's played a lot of special teams here, so it's obvious.
Yeah.
Although I think he's just I don't think he's a great special teams player. I think he's okay. I mean, yeah, he had that one. Remember, I have this memory. He was to blame for a blocked punt. I remember it was like he missed an assignment. Remember that? And the other team blocked a punt and it was on Chestnut. I think he's an okay special teamer. I think Mullings has the most upside on special teams. But he also showed nothing as a running back as a rookie. And frankly, if I had to predict, I'll go, like, I think he's going to get cut. I don't think number four is going to be Mullings. I think it'll be Chestnut or Carter. I give Mullings a fighting chance because of special teams.
I think they might only keep three running backs because they believe in Pollard and Spears as their bell cows. I think they might keep a third guy. Maybe they keep Singleton because they just picked him. Or maybe they keep somebody like Chestnut that they think is going to contribute on special teams.
I think they're
teams.
Definitely keeping Singleton. And the question is, do they keep a fourth?
Okay. I mean, it'll be about where that special teams contributor comes from. Is it your fourth linebacker? Is it your sixth?
That's the thing.
Your fourth tight end, your sixth wide receiver. Like, if they can fill the special teams room without needing a fourth running back, I think they will. If they feel like that fourth running back is crucial to their special teams units, then obviously they'll keep someone. I, like, frankly, to be blunt, do not think Khalil Mullings is very good at football, at least at running back. Maybe he's okay as a tackling guy on special teams, but I think that was a dart throw late day three pick.
Yeah.
Those guys don't usually hit, and I'm not going to, you know, fret about the fact that Khalil Mullings is probably not going to be an NFL player.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I don't think Mullings will be on this roster. I think Michael Carter is a perfect practice squad stash and bring up if you need him, because he's a veteran who knows Robert Saleh, and we saw literally him do that last year for the Arizona Cardinals. And I think that's your final room is going to probably be, like, does Chestnut play special teams or not determines whether they keep three or four running backs. We know he plays special teams. Do they need him for their special teams units?
Right.
That determines if they keep three or four. That fourth one would be Chestnut for me. Khalil Mullings, so long. Michael Carter, you're perfect for the practice squad. Nick Singleton, get your foot healthy soon, and maybe you can contribute a few explosive plays late in the season down the stretch when you've earned the trust of the coaching staff.
Lots of competition in the Tennessee Titans running back room as we approach training camp and the preseason. Will Tony Pollard run for his fifth straight 1,000-yard season? Will Tajay Spears stay healthy and be a bell cow for this offense alongside Pollard, like Coach Saleh said he can be? And what does the rest of the room look like? Who makes the roster? It's a jumbled mess on the back end at running back. This has been your training camp preview for the Tennessee Titans running backs. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about another position group on offense.
The wide receivers, which I'm super pumped to talk about.
We've been saving the best for last, if you will, or close for last when it comes to the receivers on offense. Until then, y'all stay safe out there. Come back tomorrow to talk about the receivers. I threw you a curveball there. And tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.